Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Bill Vanderzam. He's a former premier of BC, and he spearheaded the very successful campaign against the HST in British Columbia. He's speaking to us from Ladner, BC. Bill, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to say a few words. Not too long. This is not politics.
Well, Bill, first off, just how are you doing and what are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting up there, of course, but I feel young, look young. Everybody says I'm doing okay, so we're all right.
How's Lillian doing?
She's doing okay, too. Yeah, we're both doing all right. We're careful, but no problem.
Bill, we want to talk about our rights and freedoms being taken away, but first, please take us back to 2010 with your victory against the harmonized sales tax and how you organized that successful campaign.
Yeah, it was quite a task, but I had a lot of help. Good people. We had a nice team, a good team, an effective team that met regularly. We each had our thing to do. And it worked out extremely well. As a matter of fact, it worked out even better than we thought it could. We had a terrific amount of support throughout the province.
Now, I remember going into that provincial election campaign and talking to the finance minister 3 months before the vote, and he said, a harmonized sales tax is not on the radar. And then it only took them 3 months to implement it. But it took them over a year and a half to remove it. Were you surprised?
That's right.
Yeah. Why did it take them so long to take away something the people didn't want?
I'll tell you what, it's too complex to explain in one interview, and it'll take much more time than we have today. But really, there are the people in government that supposedly make the decisions. But before it gets to that, there's a whole bureaucracy with all their special little interests that has a say in it and that probably thinks delaying things is a safe route to go. And that thinking is throughout government at all levels.
Since the NDP was elected in 2017, I believe there's been a 58% increase in the BC civil service. Do you think it was warranted?
No, definitely not. I'm not for getting rid of people, obviously, but governments tend to find ways of creating new bureaucracies or things to take place to happen or to be addressed. And once they hire the people to do it, the people are going to be there. The agency continues. The studies never end.
Also, BC has a shortage of paramedics, ambulances, emergency dispatchers, nurses, and doctors. What should have been done right off the start? If they're going to hire 58% more civil servants, shouldn't have those people been at the front of the line?
Yeah, of course. We need the health workers. We need people that give us a secure life, a safe life. But that's oftentimes the last thing to get addressed. There are too many political considerations, unfortunately.
Does it look like the COVID campaign was launched by evil people to take control of the world?
Well, no one really knows yet. And part of the problem I think a lot of people have with what's happening in COVID or with COVID is the fact that governments are not being forthright. They're not being truthful. They're not laying it all out. They're not telling us both sides of the story. We're getting a lot of information fed us that is obviously manufactured someplace else, someplace else. We don't know where, but I keep saying it's a very powerful group. I think they're probably some of the world's wealthiest people, billionaires, multi-billionaires, that are orchestrating this. I don't know how otherwise it could be so organized and so demanding, and governments seem to cave to it. I don't know what's happening. It's very strange. But I know a lot of people, it's not just me, a lot of people have trouble with that. They feel they're not getting the straight goods.
Your thoughts on Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, where apparently you'll own nothing and be happy about it.
Well, the Great Reset was referred to by, when we first heard about COVID, our Prime Minister, Justin, immediately and very quickly said, oh, this is an opportunity for the Great Reset. So I don't know what he knows or knew that he hasn't totally revealed, but he appeared to think that it was an opportunity for the Great Reset, which made me think it's already being planned.
Isn't he one of those people who goes to Switzerland every year to meet up with the world's billionaires?
Yeah, I've been there myself when I was in politics. And they're a very powerful and very influential group that obviously has power and control beyond what most people expect and what they really ought to have.
Is there a need to stop this control campaign against the people?
Once a campaign gets off the ground, it's very difficult to stop it, at least so it seems. It takes a strong individual to take the lead and see how it might be dealt with best. It's tough. It's difficult. It's scary.
The push for fascism is happening around the world. Could a remedy against this push for fascism start here in BC?
The passport?
Well, no, I'm talking about the push for fascism. Could the remedy be right here in British Columbia?
For fascism?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I keep saying, well, you know what? If the powers to be, or the powers in control, or influentially directing things, however, if they want a global government, which seems to be where things are inclined to move, if they want globalism, a global government, a big government that controls the world, then it has to be communistic. It has to be communistic. And I guess there's some argument to be made that maybe China has a lead role in all of this. Because it's their type of communism, I think, that they're talking about or thinking about. But you can't have a global government and democracy as we know it today. And if democracy disappears as we know it today, freedoms go with it. And to have total control, effectively so, they need communism. Terrible, I know, but that's how it's moving.
A number of people and groups are standing up to the tyranny. Do these groups and people need to come together to fight as one?
You know, the problem is that they're very effective. The people that are somehow controlling this are very effective. I'm talking about the Faucis and much beyond that. You must give them marks for their ability to control. It's through fear, mainly, of course. It's all through fear. And obedience, because that's what the mask is all about, I think, in my view anyway. Everybody wears a mask. Even young kids have to wear a mask. There's no danger of them, or very little, if any, danger of them catching COVID. But they're going to wear a mask in school. It's crazy. As a matter of fact, that is probably my greatest fear, that a whole generation will be affected by what the results of the masks if they wear them too long.
What are your health concerns about kids wearing masks?
Well, first of all, the whole question of masks has not been properly and scientifically explained. There's many arguments against the mask or the effectiveness of the mask. Even healthcare professionals are debating the effectiveness of the mask. And the stories we've received from some of the so-called experts, I guess Fauci being one of them, started out, no mask, don't need a mask, masks are not the answer. Then, yes, we need a mask. Then we needed two masks. And, yeah, the whole thing is kind of confusing, to say the least. So I don't think masks for young kids particularly are a good thing. I think they'll do more harm than good.
Could a viable freedom-based party be formed in BC in time for the next election?
I don't know. I haven't looked at that. I haven't thought about that. I imagine the problem is that the people that are organizing this, as I mentioned earlier, are very effectively splitting us into camps. You've got people that are vaccinated, people that are unvaccinated. They don't seem to agree or even consider one's thinking on this. You know, if you want to wear a mask, it's okay by me. It's a choice, a matter of choice. But then if you don't want to wear a mask, that should also be a matter of choice. You can't force people to take and wear a mask or to not just wear a mask, to get inoculated. It's not good. It's not good. If that's the first thing they do is force an inoculation on you for this, the very thing, incidentally, that was fought after the Second World War. The Nuremberg trials were evidence of that.
Weren't the Nuremberg trials in part because people in concentration camps were forced to take part in medical experiments without their consent?
Exactly. Exactly. And the Nuremberg trial, effectively, we thought, dealt with that issue so it wouldn't happen again anywhere in the world, such as we saw it in the Second World War, where the Nazis imposed it and killed hundreds of thousands, millions of people with these tactics. And the trouble is, once they start and get away with it, then they'll think of other ways they can dictate and have people do against their will or against their better judgment. It's kind of crazy. I had a call last weekend, from a lady that we know well in the Okanagan. She's 78 years old. Her husband is 89, and he became incontinent, so they had to put him in a rest home. However, she went to visit him every day when she could. For a time she couldn't. She could only see him through the windows from the outside. It was tightly controlled, okay, but she continued on and visited him practically every day. And then all of a sudden she gets a no, she didn't get inoculated. She chose not to. I don't know why. I don't know if it was religious reasons or health reasons or just a matter of choosing democracy or whatever. I don't know what it was. I haven't asked. But anyway, she got notice last week that she could know after the 12th, which was day before yesterday, right? She could not visit her husband again in the hospital ever unless he was first vaccinated. So when she last visited him, he said, if you can't visit me, I want to die right now. I want to die. I mean, so sad. All these situations don't need to be, and they just create more division, more hurt, more damage. I just don't know. It's not good. I tell the story about my son was flying to Manitoba, and after he came back, he related to me. He said, you know, Dad, to buy a ticket, I had to keep a six-foot distance from the person in front or people behind me, a six-foot distance. He said, I was okay with that. I bought the ticket, went into the waiting room, and he said, we were 6 feet apart with empty chairs in between. No problem, that's the rule, okay, I could live with that. Then he gets on the airplane, and he practically has to sit in somebody's lap They're sitting so close together. The whole thing, it doesn't make sense. But it seems with the people that are doing this, good sense doesn't matter. Common sense doesn't matter. I don't know what it is. And I'm thinking that's a lot of people have a problem with that.
The experimental COVID jabs are still in human trials, and the human trials don't seem to be going so well. We're hearing about possible deaths and side effects associated with the experimental jabs, and people saying the jab program should be halted right away. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing, but then I tend to hear a lot from the people that are disgruntled with all of this. So I guess I may be getting a bit of a biased view, but that's okay. All views should be heard and listened to. And I keep hearing the same thing. Well, of course, we know, however, that this whole vaccine program is still experimental, still a trial. Nothing's been totally proven. Certainly none of the long-term effect has ever been considered or talked about. So we don't know, nor do the experts know. And we're not hearing enough from the experts. It's largely the politics. The politicians are the people they put up front for them.
Your thoughts on this statement? The vaccine wasn't made for COVID. COVID was made for vaccine.
I don't know. I better not say what I think about that one, because I guess it would be purely speculative. We don't know. But it's I'm not taking away from the seriousness of the virus. I don't know. I don't know how serious, but from what I can gather and see and hear, it's certainly something that can't be ignored. It has to be addressed. That's not a problem. I am very concerned about the freedom that they're proposing to take away, because that'll be forever and there'll be no end to it. And governments will abuse it in a variety of ways. And it's also the freedom taking away is only the beginning. I think it's if they want this globalism and a one world order, one government, someplace in Europe perhaps, or Asia, to control the whole of the world, they'll go a lot further in taking away the freedoms. You won't be able to protest it. It'll simply go ahead. It'll end in communism, because that's the only way they can do it.
Could a global plan like this pandemic to remove our rights and freedoms could have been hatched overnight?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speculate, because I want to be as objective as possible in addressing this as best I can.
Even with the pandemic paranoia that's going on, is it a good idea to take a step back and just follow the money?
Follow the money? It's always follow the money. Everything is follow the money. Obviously, the people that are creating the masks, they're making billions of dollars. The people that are selling the drugs, they're making billions of dollars. There's no end to it. My only other regret is that there obviously are certain potential cures out there. That people that become affected by COVID can get a cure. But these cures are being forbidden. I can't quite follow that either. Whether it's ivermectin or hydrochloroquine. What is it? I think I've got it right, hopefully. There's potential cures out there, but that's being very much discouraged.
We'll have more with Bill VanderZam right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bill VanderZam. Bill, there's concerns of fraudulent elections around the world. Could fraudulent elections been orchestrated to put evil people in power around the world?
Fraudulent elections, we'll hear much more about that, I guess, because the elections in the U.S. are being carefully looked at. I guess the same thing might happen here in Canada. I'm not sure. They should always be checked. And for people to have the right to vote and participate, they need to be totally honest and open in all of that. So, yeah, I'm sure that it's being, if it's once used as it might have been used in the U.S. and Canada and elsewhere in the world before that, we need to look at the system and see where the faults and how it's being abused.
Last week, world leaders reached a landmark deal on a global corporate tax rate. What's going on there?
I don't know anything about that, but that's, if they're going to keep pushing this globalism or this great reset or the one world order, call it what you will, they're going to be looking at ways to find money globally from everybody. I don't know. The problem is the people, the billionaires and the people that are probably, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with billionaires if they're doing good with, as we have some here in our own province that are doing a lot of good, that's wonderful. That's great and to be commended. But there's evil ones among them and they have a lot of power. So it's hard to say just exactly what might happen or what they'll do.
Recently, Dr. Zev Zelenko on the Stu Peters Show mentioned that leaders of countries are offered a $500 million Swiss bank account to follow directions of the deep state, or they and the members of their families will be killed. Could this explain why the world is in such a mess with governments turning on their people?
I don't know, Jim. I can't speculate on that. I just don't want to get involved in that kind of thing.
President Trump's been a victim of fake news. Maxime Bernier and the People's Party, victims of fake news. Looking back, could you have been one of the early victims of fake news?
Yeah, the news media was bad in some respects. That is, not every respect, obviously. But in some respects, when I was there 30-odd years ago, but it's gotten a lot worse since. And this COVID thing is not helping matters either. I don't think we're getting all the information straight. When I turn on the Canadian television, I can tell you in advance, 9 times out of 10, they're talking about COVID, and it's a much one-sided message.
The BC Liberal Party, is it time for it to change its name to reflect more about what the party's about?
You know what? I don't even know if they're doing anything or what they're doing. I don't hear much from the BC Liberal Party. I don't know. I don't hear much in the news or see much in the papers. No, I don't know. I really don't know what's happening or what they're trying to do. If they're trying to change their name to be more inclusive or whatever, I'm not sure.
Is it time for the Social Credit Party to be revived?
Well, not now, because the name Social Credit probably has been tarnished a bit by what's happening in China. Apparently, this whole Social Credit theme, I don't know when it came or where it came from or why it came, but it's being used in China in some manner. You better research that a bit, Jim.
Oh, yeah, where they're using facial recognition to charge people with jaywalking and then telling the company they work for that they can't go on holidays for 2 years because of that. That's what social credit has turned out to be. Yeah, it's not a great name. What do you think the BC Liberals should call themselves if they want to, you know, brand who they are? Because they certainly make a point of saying they're not associated with the Federal Liberal Party of Canada.
Yeah, I don't think that's for me or for us to suggest. They need to research that a little more carefully, and they probably should consult their, not only their party members, but people at large in the province as to what the best name to describe the party.
Bill, your closing thoughts on how we can save British Columbia and Canada.
Well, it's They're not easy times, very difficult. I think we need to, hopefully find a way to, educate people early on about what democracy is all about, should be, and how it's best applied provincially and federally in this country. The educational system needs to be looked at all levels, because I think that's where it all starts. And that's probably one of the reasons why some of these bodies that are involved in all of this discussion and all of this what's happening are now trying to get into the educational system. We see it in the U.S., and whatever happens there tends to happen here very shortly after.
I know, Bill, gardening has always been your passion. Do we need more gardening and less hate?
Gardening is a wonderful thing. It's good. It's good. It's very healthy. It's good for mind and body. And it's a beautiful thing. So I would encourage gardening as much as I've always done and will continue to do. And maybe we need to grow with this whole economic thing that is being talked about today is going to happen. We're going to have a shortage of food or whatever. I don't think it's quite as serious as they're telling us, but if that happens, then more gardening will become a total necessity.
I mean, I take a look at all these vacant lots around the lower mainland that are government-owned. Why don't we have more community gardens? Nothing brings people together more than putting your hands in the soil, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about community gardens. Then you'll have a ministry for community gardens, and you'll have all sorts of bureaucracies, and they'll want to do studies about what to plant and when to plant and where to plant. No, try and keep government out of things if you possibly can. And anything community should be strictly that. Not government. And if you're on government land, they'll be telling us what to do and how it's to be done.
Bill, thank you so much for talking with us. And I know it's very late in the year to say it, but I hope the rest of the year is great for you and Lillian.
I hope it's so for everybody. We need all the help we can get.
My guest has been former BC Premier Bill Vanderzam. If you have any questions for him, we'll try to ask that question for you the next time we talk to Bill. If you send that question to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at Talk Digital Net. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.